This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. إن شاء الله, in today's session of قريب مجيب, we will be talking about استخارة, the dua of استخارة, and in general also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair, for something that is good of this world and also of the hereafter. We see that the prophets of Allah, they are a perfect example for us. And when they found themselves in any difficulty, they called upon Allah Azza wa Jal. When Musa alayhi salam left Egypt and he ended up in Madian in a state of extreme poverty and weakness, and he did not know where he was going to go and what he was going to do, his future, he had no idea what was going to happen next. And he made use of the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And he helped those in need. He welcomed a new connection in his life. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something good. He said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqeer. That, oh my Lord, I am in need of anything good that you can send my way. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khayr. And he declared himself as a faqir, as someone who is extremely poor, someone who has nothing at all. Yani, he was basically expressing his desperate need of anything good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send his way. And when he combined dua with effort, because you see, he made dua and he also did something to benefit those people who were around him. He didn't just sit there waiting for, you know, good things to fall on him from the sky. He made dua and he used whatever means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And what happened then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him different types of khair. He gave him not only a family, but also a job security, a home, security, safety in general, a good family. And he got so much. So this, in this dua, the dua of Musa alayhi salam, we see that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair, for something that is good for us. And a lot of times, we ourselves don't know what is good for us. We may want something, we may really passionately desire something, but in reality, it's quite possible that it's not good for us. And on the other hand, we might be trying our best to avoid something, but in fact, it could be good for us. So we don't know what is good for us, all the time. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows. So we should be regularly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair, to grant us what is good. Now, when we're praying istikhara literally means two things. First of all, istikhara means talabul khiyara. You need to seek khiyara, to ask for khiyara. And what is khiyara? Choice. Meaning you ask someone to choose for you, to pick for you. Because you understand that you are not in the right state to make a decision for yourself. And why is it that you are not in the right state to make a decision for yourself? Because you recognize that you don't know the future. You don't know everything. Your knowledge is limited. So you ask the one who knows everything to decide for you, to pick for you, to select for you what is khair. So istikhara is talabul khiyara. You need to seek to seek choice. You need to seek from someone that they make the choice for you. And a lot of times a person is feeling very indecisive. They're not used to making decisions, or the decision is very big. The risks are very high. The investment is very great. And so they're afraid. They're genuinely afraid. So they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the decision for them, to pick what is best for them. Secondly, istikhara means talabul khair. You need to seek what is good. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you what is good. Because sometimes you have made a decision and you are very clear about it. You have consulted everyone, you have done your research, and now you have made your decision. So before you go ahead with it, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it good for you. So this is also istikhara. And this shows us that istikhara is something that we can make when we are indecisive, we don't know what to do, we are not sure about which option to choose for ourselves. Both look good, or all three look good, and we are indecisive, so we can make istikhara at that time. And secondly, we should also make istikhara when we have made a decision to go ahead with something. Because then you're praying istikhara to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what is good, to make what you have decided good for you. And through istikhara, you are showing complete surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are showing your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So istikhara is a form of ta'abbud. You know, it is a form of complete servitude to Allah. And it's a form of ubudiyya, complete servitude to Allah, that, Ya Allah, I am your slave. I am in need of you. You are the master. You know everything. I don't know. This is what I want. So you make it good for me. And if it's bad for me, you turn it away from me. And you are showing your complete reliance, your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what istikhara is in a nutshell. Now, when you're praying istikhara, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what is good, or you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose what is good for you, because He knows what is good for you. Now, what exactly is khair? What exactly is good? Imam Raghib defines khair as a thing that all desire. And it is something that everyone wants. For example, intelligence, or equity, justice, goodness and excellence, you know, some virtue, and something that is useful, something that is of benefit. And this is khair, and it is the opposite of shar, opposite of something that is evil. And khair is of two kinds. The first type of khair is that which is absolute, meaning something that is good and it is desired in all circumstances and by every person. So for example, Jannah, right? Jannah is good, and it is good for everyone, for every person. And no matter what circumstances they're in, they could be very pious or not, they could be in difficulty or not, whatever their condition is, Jannah is good for every slave. The other type of khair is that which is relative. And it is good for someone, but not for someone else. So for example, wealth, property, money. This is something that can be good for one person, and at the same time, it can be very evil for another. A phone, right? That can be very good for someone who's using it to keep in touch with their family, to do their work, listen to good things, to listen to Quran, to memorize Quran, to send good messages to their friends and family. They are using that phone for a lot of good. So the phone is good for this person, but the same kind of phone can actually be evil for another person. Why? Because they're using it now to keep a haram relationship, or to watch something that is sinful, to listen to something that is sinful, to lie, to waste their time, and things like that. So the phone itself, that wealth itself, it can be good for someone, and it can also be evil for someone else. So this khair is relative, right? It is not absolute. Now, when it comes to something good, something khair, of course, people love it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And indeed, the human being is very intense in his love for good. And good can also be understood as wealth, because a lot of times in the Quran, the word khair is used to refer to wealth, because people think that wealth is good for them. And wealth certainly has a lot of potential for goodness, but it also has a potential for evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَا يَسْأَمُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ دُعَاءِ الْخَيْرِ, that a person does not get weary, a person does not get tired of asking for goodness, asking for what is good. Yani, people always want something that is good for them. And good doesn't just mean in the sense of deen, but also in worldly terms, that people are eager for what is good, for not just money, but health and, you know, good friends, good fun, good food, things like that. People are very eager for it, and they don't ever get tired of it. And khayr is something that is entirely in the hand of Allah. We learn, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. In your hand is all good, you are able to do all things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us such that we have an inclination to have what is good. And all good is in the hand of Allah. So what does this mean? This means that if we want anything good, who do we seek it from? We seek it from Allah. And if we want something to be good for us, then again, who do we seek help from? We seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ إِنَّمَا الْخَيْرُ خَيْرُ الْآخِرَةِ, that indeed the only good is the good of the hereafter. And this shows us that something good in the world, any of material things, of worldly things, these are good things, yes, but their goodness is limited and it is fleeting. And with good, there is also some kind of harm that is attached. So for example, a person thinks that a certain individual is perfect for them to marry, and they marry them. And alhamdulillah, they receive a lot of good, they benefit a lot, but at the same time, there is also things that are hurtful, or things that are annoying. You think that buying a certain phone would be excellent for you, but then now you have it and it's so fast and it has such a long battery life that you end up spending too much time on your phone. So this is the reality of the good things of the world, that their goodness is not absolute. The real goodness is the goodness of the hereafter. So where we are eager for good, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good, we should especially be seeking permanent goodness, the goodness of the hereafter. That is what we should be desiring. Now, there are different ways of acquiring something good for ourselves. Allah is the one in whose hand is all good. So how do we seek what is good? How do we seek the good that is in His hand? We seek that through different ways. First of all, we seek that through iman and taqwa, through faith and piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that if the people of the towns had believed and they had adopted taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, surely we would have opened to them the blessings from the sky and the earth. And we would have opened the floodgates of blessings for them, and blessings would come upon them from the sky and also from beneath their feet, when, if they had believed and they had adopted taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That whoever fears Allah, Allah makes for him an exit out of his difficulty. And then Allah provides him from where he does not even expect. And from where a person cannot even imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. So the first step to achieving something good for ourselves is iman and taqwa. Secondly, fulfill your obligations towards Allah and towards those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, tied you with in some relationship. Any obligations you owe them, fulfill them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the people who fulfill their obligations that He will give them أحسن ما عملوا. He will give them the best reward for what they did. لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. He will reward them for the best that they used to do, and He will give them even more. Another thing is that we should show obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal in general also. And yes, we are, fulfilling our obligations, but at the same time, we should also show obedience to Allah in other matters of our lives and refrain from what He has forbidden. In a narration, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that anything that can draw you close to paradise, I have informed you about it. I have instructed you to do it. And if there's anything that can draw you close to hellfire, I have forbidden you from it. And he said that no soul can die, no person can die, no living creature can die without consuming the provision that was decreed for it. And so you should fear Allah and adopt moderation in seeking provision. Don't be so obsessive over earning money or earning or acquiring things that you want, things that you like, because when you become very obsessive over it and you're putting all of your mind and energy and everything into it, you're only the result is only going to be what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed for you. So don't go to extremes. Don't become lazy and do nothing. And at the same time, don't be chasing money all the time either. And he said, fear Allah and adopt moderation in seeking what Allah has decreed for you. And the delay in rizq, in sustenance, should not urge you to seek it through disobedience to Allah. And if, for example, you are very eager to make some money so that you can buy something, and you believe that the thing you want to buy is good for you. So you should adopt lawful ways to acquire that. Because if you use, for example, theft, that you steal your parents' money, or you steal someone's money, cheat them, you lie to them in order to get money from them. And through that, you acquire something that you love, this is very dangerous for you. So just because you can't have something right now and you badly want it, don't let that urge you to disobey Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ continued, he said, what is with Allah can only be attained through obedience to Allah. And if you want something that is really good for you, actually good for you, and you want it from Allah, then you have to obey Allah. You should not be using disobedience to Allah in order to earn that. Another important thing we need to adopt is gentleness. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever is granted gentleness has been granted a huge portion of goodness. Because through gentleness, you can acquire a lot of good. The Prophet ﷺ also said that the doors of goodness, the gates of goodness are what? They are fasting, charity, right? And other good deeds he mentioned. So good deeds are gates of goodness. Tawbah and istighfar, repenting to Allah, seeking forgiveness from Him. These also bring goodness to a person. And another thing is that we should be frequent in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person remembers Allah, For example, they say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then you pray, Allahumma arhamni, O Allah, have mercy on me, warzuqni, O Allah, provide me, wa'afini, Ya Allah, grant me protection and well-being, wahdini, and guide me. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught these words to a man, and he said that this person has filled his hand with goodness. And when you make the dhikr of Allah, then you will receive a lot of good from Allah. So in order to acquire something good in our lives, and yes, we adopt the means. For example, you go to the market in order to purchase something you want. But then at the same time, you have to do such things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, so that Allah facilitates that goodness for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you in abundance. Remembrance of Allah, seeking forgiveness, doing good deeds, being gentle, refraining from haram, fulfilling your obligations, and most importantly, faith and taqwa, the fear of Allah azza wa jal. Now, remember, there are some things which prevent a person from attaining, from earning, from acquiring what is good. Yani, sometimes it happens that a person is trying a lot, they're working very hard, but they're not able to find something good for themselves. For example, someone wants to get married, and now they talk to their family, they talk to their friends, that if you find someone, please let me know. And year after year goes by, and they're not able to find someone that is suitable. Or for instance, someone wants to make money. They work somewhere, they apply for a job in one place, then another place, then another place. They start a business. Nothing's working. They're not able to make a decent income. A person wants to buy something for their family, and they're not able to purchase it. You know, every time they want to buy it, something happens. So remember that there are certain things that prevent us from receiving what is good. And what are these things? These are, first of all, sins and acts of disobedience. Sins and acts of disobedience. We learn in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned the companions that when there is a nation in which sins such as zina immoral, indecent actions become very common, and people commit them very openly, then plague and different diseases spread among those people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the consequence very quickly in this world. When people cheat in buying and selling, meaning they're not honest in terms of weight and measure, then they're afflicted with famine and the oppression of rulers and other hardships. When people do not give zakat from their wealth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents rain from falling on them. And if it was not for the animals, no rain would fall on those people. When people break the promise that they have made with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends other nations over them. So we see that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given many warnings. And what do they show us? That when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly, defiantly, then there are consequences, and a person is prevented from good. Hasan al-Basri would say that as-sahabu fihi wallahi rizqukum, that the clouds, by Allah, in them is your sustenance. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تُحْرَمُونَهُ بِخَطَايَاكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But you are prevented from it, you are deprived of it because of your sins and your crimes, your deeds. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, that in the sky is your sustenance. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the decree down from above. And what is it that prevents us from receiving that sustenance, receiving that goodness? It is our own sins. It is our own faults. So every person should think about themselves that if I desperately want something good, I am praying for it, I am trying to get it, I'm still not able to get it, then I need to check my actions. How is my akhlaq, my behavior with my closest family members, with my mother, with my father, with my sister, with my brother? How do I treat them? Do I honor them? Do I disrespect them? Do I give them attention? Do I ignore them? You know, sometimes people are constantly struggling in their work, constantly. You know, there's one stress after the other. We need to do some introspection that why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making things easy for us? What lesson does He want me to learn? So check your actions. What is my akhlaq like with the people who deserve my respect, who deserve my best treatment, especially my mother and my father? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that first is His right, right? Do not associate any partner with Allah. And then with the parents, do ihsan. So when I see my mother, what kind of a face do I make? When I sit with my mother, then do I look at her? Do I talk to her? Or do I pretend like she's not even there? Am I lost in my own world? You know, this is extreme disrespect to one's mother. That first of all, a person doesn't show their face for such a long time. Then when they come in a moody way. You know, this is extreme disrespect. So we need to check our actions. We need to check our behavior. What is our salah like? And other matters. Any, if we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are doing things that bring about His wrath and disapproval, then how do we expect ease in our lives? Another thing that prevents us from attaining what is good is constant fighting and argumentation. And we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to people in order to tell them about when Laylatul Qadr will be. And he found two men among the Muslims arguing. And they were, bickering basically. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I came out of my house over here into the masjid in order to inform you, but because of your argumentation, that knowledge was taken away from me. Subhanallah. People were not informed of when exactly Laylatul Qadr is. Why? Because of two people arguing. Now think about it. If a husband and wife are constantly bickering in the house, if siblings are constantly bickering, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law are always arguing, father and son are always arguing, in the house is constant argumentation, no respect for people's choices, no respect for other people, that you give them space. If there's constant argumentation, then how can we expect khair? Another thing is harshness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuhram al-rifqa yuhram al-khair." Whoever is deprived of gentleness is actually deprived of a lot of goodness. Another thing is ingratitude. When people are ungrateful, then we learn in the Quran that there was a people who were like this, and فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them wear the clothing of hunger and fear. Yani He completely surrounded them, encompassed them with constant hunger and constant fear because of what they used to do, because of their ingratitude. So you see, sometimes when we are not able to find the good or get the good that we desire, we tend to deflect the blame basically on those around us. Sometimes, people will blame society. They will say, oh, there are no good human beings. There is no good man left to marry. There is no good woman left to marry. These days, the men are just horrible. These days, the women are just horrible. And we will blame everyone but ourselves. Sometimes people will blame their families. I am still not married because of such and such and such reason, because of my father, because of my mother, because of my sister, because of my brother, because of this, because of that. I'm not saying that these things do not become a hurdle. They do. But ultimately, remember, good is not in their hand. Good is in the hand of Allah. Sometimes it is our own harshness, our own bad behavior, our constant negativity and finding fault in other people and being ungrateful with everything that is in our lives. And every time we find someone, we are bickering, we have a reason to argue and pick a fight. We are repelling good from ourselves then. We're not inviting good in our lives. So if we want good in our lives, we have to invite it. How do we invite it? With positive attitude, seeking it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by doing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, not those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that istikhara is that you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose what is good for you. And you're also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you good in what you have decided to do. And istikhara is something that is legislated. We learn in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach the companions to do istikhara as he would teach them a surah of the Quran. Yani, he would teach people the istikhara as if it was from the Quran. Yani, it's an essential, basically. It's an essential for every Muslim that you must know how to pray istikhara, how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness in different matters. And this is an essential in life. This is a very important habit that we all need to develop, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness. Why? Because we are fuqara, we are poor, and Allah is the one who is ghaniyul hamid, who is rich, who is praiseworthy. And we should do istikhara. Why? Because we don't always know what is good for us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that wa'asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. It's possible that you dislike something, whereas in reality it is good for you. And it's possible that you love something, and in reality it is bad for you. Allah knows, you do not know. So ask Allah to make the decision for you. Ask Allah to grant you what is good. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that amazing is the case of the believer, because Allah does not decree anything for the believer except that it is good for him. So whatever Allah decides for you, what Allah picks for you, what Allah chooses for you, remember that is excellent for you. So ask Allah to choose for you. And if you have made a decision, then ask Allah to put good in it for you. Now, the Sahaba, we see that before making any important decision, they would, it was their habit that they would pray istikhara. We learn about Zainab radiallahu anha, that when she was, informed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intends to marry you, when he was mentioned before her to see how she liked the idea, Zainab radiallahu anha said that I will not do anything until astamira rabbi, until I consult my Lord. Yani, imagine a proposal from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, I'm not going to do anything until I ask Allah. Allahu Akbar. Yani, this is how much they made dua to Allah. This is how much the companions would do istikhara. Now, this shows us that even when something appears to be good for us, and something that we like, something that we think is right for us, is good for us, even then we should do istikhara. For example, you want to travel back home to see your family after 10 years, after 15 years. And yes, this is something good that you are going to visit your family. But still, you should do istikhara. Why? Because then you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put good in your decision, to make it good for you, to make it abundantly good for you. And if there's anything harmful, dangerous, evil in it, to keep that away from you. So we learn that some ulama say that without making istikhara, a person should not go ahead with doing any major thing in his worldly matters. So for example, worldly matters such as travel, or a big purchase, or marriage, or studying at a particular school, studying a particular program, things like that, buying a house, renting a house, getting a car, moving to a different city, taking a job, anything like that, any worldly matter, before you go ahead with it, pray istikhara. And when a person prays istikhara, then they are protected from humiliation. Okay? Why? Because when you pray istikhara, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you in your decision, to put good in it, to protect you from harm. So then after that, whatever happens, you are content with it. And you will not be worried. You will not feel embarrassed. You will not feel regret, because you will know that you consulted your Lord. You know that you asked Allah to put good in it for you. So what has happened is good for you. Some ulama, they say that the person who consults his Lord, yani prays istikhara, and consults the creation, meaning you also discuss with people who are knowledgeable of the matter, who know your situation, you consult them, and then you make a decision, and you are firm on it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that when you have made a decision, then put your trust in Allah, meaning then now be firm. That now stick to the decision. So a person who takes these steps, such a person will never be regretful. So, and other ulama, they say that if a person is granted four things, they will then they're not deprived. Who, first of all, the person who is given the ability to be grateful to Allah, then they will not be deprived of receiving more blessings, because when they're grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them more. Secondly, the person who is given the ability to repent to Allah, then he will not be deprived of the acceptance of repentance, because Allah is at-tawwab. He accepts repentance. So he gave the ability to repent, and now when you do tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts repentance. Thirdly, the person who is given the ability to make istikhara, then he will not be deprived of goodness, because you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. So whatever happens, it will be good for you. And fourthly, the person who is given the ability to consult others, then he will not be deprived of what is right, what is correct for him. Because you consulted others. Why? Because you want to know what is best for you, what is right, what is correct. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to you. So when you take a step, when you put effort and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you are seeking. Now there is a question. In which matters should we be praying istikhara? Remember, istikhara is something that we should be making when we want to do something that is permissible and something that is recommended, and something that is good. Okay, permissible, not sinful, not forbidden. So for example, if a person is praying istikhara, should I travel or not? That is good, because it's permissible to travel. But if a person wants to make istikhara, should I travel to such and such place and stay at that casino and take this much money with me and play such and such game so that I can perhaps win so much more money? No, there is no istikhara, because traveling to such a place to commit sin, that is not permissible anyway. And istikhara is supposed to be in those actions which are mustahab, yani those actions which are recommended. I mean, they're not obligatory. It's not like your five daily prayers. It's not like your obligation to be good to your parents. No, it's something recommended. Like, for example, traveling to see your family. Then yes, you should do istikhara in that. Also, when it comes to marriage, meaning marrying someone, istikhara is also important over there. Some people think istikhara is just for marriage, only for marriage. And what they will do is they will pray istikhara themselves, or they will not do it themselves. They will hire someone, they will ask someone, they will request someone, you do istikhara for me. First of all, remember, istikhara is not just for marriage. It is for any worldly matter that is permissible, that is recommended. And istikhara is something that you should do yourself. Another important thing is that istikhara is not in those matters which are obligatory on you. So for example, a person should not be praying istikhara to decide whether they should give zakat or not. No, zakat you have to give. Likewise, there is no istikhara for going for hajj. Yani, should I do hajj or not? Yes, you can do istikhara that should I go this year? Will that be good for me? Or the following year? Because this year you have certain responsibilities because of which you're not sure, right? So, okay. But otherwise, if there's nothing preventing you, Allah has given you the opportunity to go for hajj, then you don't need to decide, do istikhara, is hajj good for me or not? No, it's good for you already because Allah has obligated it on you. So if you are someone who is obligated to do hajj, then you don't need to do istikhara. You don't need to do istikhara to decide whether or not you should be good to your mother, whether or not you should be good to your father, whether or not you should fast in Ramadan, whether or not you should give your zakat. These are all obligations on you. Now, how do you perform istikhara? About this also, many people are confused. The Prophet ﷺ taught us the way of doing istikhara. All right, Jabir radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet ﷺ would teach us istikhara as he would teach us a surah of the Quran. So the sunnah is very clear about how istikhara is supposed to be performed. And what is the manner? The Prophet ﷺ said that when one of you is preoccupied about a matter, meaning they're concerned, they're worried about a matter, they need to make an important decision. So what should they do? They should perform 2 rak'ah. Min ghayr al-fariḍah. So first of all, 2 rak'ah. Secondly, these 2 rak'ah should be other than the obligatory salah. So for example, it should not be the 2 rak'ah of Fajr. All right? It should be 2 voluntary rak'ah. And then after the 2 rak'ah, he should say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika, the dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught. So we learn a number of things. First of all, we learn that the 2 rak'ah have to be 2 rak'ah other than the faridah. Okay. However, they can be even your sunnah prayers. So for example, you prayed the 4 fard of Dhuhr, and then after that, you have to pray 2 rak'ah of sunnah anyway, right? And the 2 sunnah are not obligatory. So you perform the 2 sunnah and then you pray istikhara. Yani you make the dua of istikhara. That is correct, all right? However, some ulama say that no, these 2 rak'ah are specific to istikhara. So after your sunnah, you should perform 2 more rak'ah and then you make the dua of istikhara. But remember that both ways are permissible. And you see, sometimes you have the time to pray the 2 rak'ah and make the dua. Other times, you don't have that opportunity. For example, you're in a rush. You have to step out of the house, or you don't have very long to make the decision. Or, your child is crying, your baby is crying. You have to go back to a class. You have to go back to your work desk, things like that. So you don't have much time. So then after your 2 sunnah prayers, even you can make the dua of istikhara. All right. But it would be good if you, when you do have the time and ability, then you pray the 2 rak'ah of istikhara and then you make the dua. And then we see that after the 2 rak'ah, we should raise our hands and then make the dua of istikhara. All right. Now there is a question. What if a person is not able to perform the 2 rak'ah? So for example, a woman is menstruating. Right? She's not able to pray 2 rak'ah, but what if she has to make an important decision that is urgent, that cannot wait until she ends her period and then she makes dua? In a situation like that, or for example, you are out somewhere. Let's say you are, outside of your house. You are in a store and you find a very good deal. And the person is saying that today is the last day. The store closes in 30 minutes. All right, this is the last piece that is left, and you buy it now, or you lose the deal, or you might not get it tomorrow. So now you don't have the time to go find a bathroom, make wudu, find a place to pray, and then do two rak'ah and then make du'a. You don't have the time, right? Or even if you have the time, you don't always have the ability, right? But it's an important decision. For example, you're buying a mattress for your bed, right? Now that is something that you have to use every single day. And if that mattress is not good, it doesn't turn out to be good for your back. It's going to be very difficult for you. So it's a major decision, right? Sometimes you have to buy travel tickets, plane tickets, and the deal is going to expire in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. So then before you make the decision to purchase or before you make the purchase, you can just make the dua of istikhara. Imam Nawawi said that if a person is unable to perform the two rak'ah of istikhara, then he can just make the dua of istikhara. All right? And so this shows us that we should learn the dua of istikhara and we should also have it accessible. Maybe save a screenshot on your phone so that you have it accessible. And when it comes to the two rak'ah of istikhara, then what is it that we should recite in them? There is no surah that has been specified. You can recite any portion of the Quran in the first rak'ah, in the second rak'ah. You could recite a surah or verses that give you hope, that assure you of Allah's promises, the good that Allah gives His slaves, or any portion of the Quran. It is permissible. Another question, when can you pray istikhara? Meaning at which time of day or night? So remember, there is no fixed time. Okay, you can pray istikhara whenever you have the need to do so. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا هَمَّ, when one of you makes the firm intention to do something, or when one of you is in the process of making the intention, idha means when. So at the time when you have to make the decision, at the time when you have to go ahead with your decision, you can pray istikhara. All right, now there's a question. There are certain times in the day when salah, when we are basically forbidden from prayer, right? And that is the time when the sun is rising, the time when the sun is setting, and the time when it is at the meridian, it's at the peak, at the time of zawal, right? So these three times, with the Prophet sallallahu, there's a clear hadith in Sahih Muslim in which we learn that it is forbidden to pray at these times. But remember that this is for performing voluntary salah. Okay, that is forbidden. If a person has a reason to pray, okay? So for example, a person wakes up literally as the sun is rising or just a few moments before that, okay? So now what should they do? They should get up and pray Fajr. If they have not prayed, they should pray, all right? Why? Because you're supposed to pray as soon as you wake up. Secondly, if there's a reason to pray, so for example, you have prayed Asr, and now you go to the masjid in order to pray Maghrib over there, and in order to, eat iftar with your friends in the masjid. But you know the etiquette, when you go to the masjid, you should pray two rak'ah, tahiyatul masjid. So when you enter the masjid after praying Asr, there is a reason to pray. So if there is a reason to pray, you are allowed to pray. Okay? Now, likewise, when it comes to istikhara, if you can delay the prayer of istikhara, go ahead and pray after Maghrib, okay? But if it's an urgent matter and you have already prayed Asr, there's a reason now to pray istikhara, You can pray istikhara. Okay? So for example, you have to purchase plane tickets and the agent, the travel agent is waiting. Tell me now, should I go ahead or not? So you ask them, just give me 5 minutes. And you pray to rak'ah, you make the dua of istikhara, and you call the agent back and you say, go ahead and purchase. But if the agent says, let me know by tomorrow. So now you can wait until Maghrib, right? And you can pray Maghrib and then do the 2 rak'ah. So I hope it is clear. And if it is a time when salah is forbidden, voluntary salah is forbidden, then you should delay the istikhara until a time when you can pray. However, if the matter is urgent, then remember there is a reason for you to pray. And if there is a reason for a person to pray at the forbidden times, then it is permissible to pray at that time. Now, the 2 rak'ah, after that we make dua. What is the dua of istikhara? A very beautiful dua. We say in it, the Prophet ﷺ taught this dua, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I ask you for the good because of your knowledge. Inni astakhiruka. Astakhiruka meaning I'm praying istikhara to you, meaning I'm asking you for good, or I'm asking you to make the decision. I'm asking you to do the khiyara, all right, to make the choice for me. Why? Bi'ilmika, because of your knowledge. Because you know everything. I don't know everything. You have perfect knowledge of my situation, what is good for me, and I don't. So Allahumma inni astaghiruka bi'ilmika wa astaqdiruka biqudratika. And I ask you for strength by your power. Or astaqdiruka, yani I am seeking from you because you have qudra, right? You have the ability. All power is in your hand. It is not in my hand. You are able to do everything. You make the final decree, and I don't. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you for your great favor. And this shows us that whatever we have of good, it is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we say, فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. That indeed you are the one who decrees, and I am not the one who decrees. Or you are the one who has power, and I am not the one who has power. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. You know, and I do not know. You know the knowledge of the unseen. You know the internal and external. You know the hidden and the visible, right? You know what is good, what is evil. So you encompass everything in knowledge, and I do not. La a'lamu, I do not know. Wa anta 'allamul ghuyub, and you are the knower of all unseen matters. Meaning nothing is unseen from you. You see, sometimes you're making a decision, for example, whether or not to marry someone. They appear to be good, but you don't know. What if they're hiding some really terrible things from you? Or you think they're good for you in one way, but who knows? They could be terrible for you in many other ways. So, O Allah, you are the knower of all unseen matters. So then you say, Allahumma in kunta ta'lam. O Allah, if you know, anna hadha al-amra khayrun li, that this matter is good for me. Now, I'm sure you are wondering, doesn't Allah know everything? Why do we say, oh Allah, if you know? Of course Allah knows everything. So this is just a style of speech. And what you're saying is that, oh Allah, if in your knowledge, you know this matter to be good for me, because you know everything. I don't know everything. You know everything. So if you know this to be good, and you know everything, so if this is good for me, then, and it's good for me, fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri. If it is good for me in terms of my religion, in terms of my livelihood, and in terms of my final outcome, then faqdurhu li. Then decree it for me, make it happen for me. Wa in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amra sharru li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri. And if you know that this matter is bad for me, meaning if in your knowledge this matter is bad for me, evil for me, in regard to my religion, in regard to my livelihood, in regard to my final outcome, then fasrifhu anni wasrifni anhu, then turn it away from me and turn me away from it. This is so beautiful. Turn it away from me. Because you see, when something is in front of you, then you are tempted, right? And the more you see it, the more tempted you are. But if it's not good for you, you're asking Allah, Ya Allah, turn it away from me so I don't even see it. Because if I see it, I'm going to be tempted. I'm going to wish for it. Wasrifni anhu, turn me away from it. And you turn my heart away from it. Because sometimes, you know, our heart is still clinging to something that we cannot have. And because it's clinging on to it, it's yearning for it, we are sad. And we are not able to think about anything else. We're not able to enjoy other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So if it's bad for me, turn it away from me and turn me away from it. وَقُدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ And then decree for me something good from wherever. Because you own everything, you're able to do all things. So you give me something good in its place and you know how to bring it about. ثُمَّ رَضِّنِي بِهِ And then make me happy with it. Because so often, any a person is able to, you know, a person has something, but they're not happy with it. They're not pleased with it. So you're asking Allah that, Ya Allah, you are able to decree what is good for me. So you make it happen however that you can. And then you grant me happiness with it also. Make me happy with it. Make me pleased with it. And you see over here, we're saying that, oh Allah, if you know this to be good for me or bad for me in terms of my religion, my livelihood, and my final outcome. Notice how, out of the three, what is mentioned first? My religion. Because deen is the most important. And ma'ashi, my livelihood, yani my life, my income, my house, you know, my food, etc., my money. And then my final outcome, yani my final destination in the hereafter, or the final outcome of my affair, the matter that I am deciding about. If it's really good for me, make it happen. If it's bad for me, then turn it away from me. Now there's a question. When you pray istikhara, what should you do after that? Should you go to sleep and wait for a dream? No. Istikhara, remember, is not a way of knowing, finding out what is in the unseen. Okay? Istikhara is not a way to access the unseen knowledge. No. Istikhara is a way of asking Allah for goodness and asking Allah to decide what is good for you, to grant you what is good for you. Istikhara is not a window into the unseen. So when you pray istikhara, then what should you do? You should put your trust in Allah and you should trust His decision. And how do you know the answer to your istikhara? There is no answer to istikhara, okay? Nobody's going to come in your dream and tell you. And if you think about it, sometimes in one night you have 3-4 dreams. So which of those dreams is the answer to your istikhara? So remember that dreams, yes, they are, mubashirat, yani something through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you good news. But you don't rely your decisions, your deen on dreams, okay? You don't base your religion on dreams. You don't base your decisions on dreams. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you, in the dua of istikhara, you're asking Allah anyway, that if this is good for me, make it happen. And if it's not good for me, turn it away from me. And then grant me something good in its place and make me happy with it. So istikhara is a way of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness. Now, sometimes what happens, you pray istikhara, and, for example, you pray istikhara whether or not you should marry someone, okay? And then you go ahead with that marriage. And then that marriage turns out to be very painful, very difficult. So then you say, but I did istikhara. Yes, you did istikhara. And you know what? This difficulty that you're experiencing right now, that was actually good for you. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it for you. Because any trial, any test that a believer faces, what is that? It is good for the believer. It is not bad for the believer. We discussed this earlier, that everything that happens, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about, remember, there is goodness in it. There is goodness in it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not decree what is evil. Now, there's two scenarios. One scenario is that you, before you make an important decision, what do? You consult people who can give you good advice. All right? You do your research. You weigh out the pros and cons, right? When your heart is determined with one, matter, or you are determined that, okay, you're going to go ahead with this decision, before you make the decision, you pray istikhara. So for example, you want to travel, before you purchase the tickets for a certain date, all right, you consult your family, is this good? You consult, you speak to your boss, is it good if I travel at this time? You consult someone who has traveled recently you figure out that, yes, this is a good time to travel. Then before you make the purchase of the plane tickets, what do? You do istikhara. All right. And when you do istikhara, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it good for you. Now, another scenario is that you have a couple of options before you and you don't know which one to choose. All right. So now, what do? You are completely indecisive. So now you, first of all, consult people, all right? You do istishara, you consult people, not everybody, but those people who are people of knowledge, understanding, people who understand your situation, who can advise you what is good for you. Excuse me. And then you pray istikhara, that Ya Allah, you are asking Allah to make the choice, the decision for you, right? Now what happens after istikhara, you feel more inclined towards one option, okay? So remember, you can do istikhara again, and you can pray istikhara again, and again, and again, until you have sharh sadr, and you are confident about a particular decision, all right? So remember, you are allowed to make istikhara more than once until you are firm about, you are confident about a certain decision. So this is permissible. Now there's a question. Can you pray istikhara for someone else? Or rather, can you ask someone else to do istikhara for you? You can only ask them to do istikhara for you if the decision also applies to them. Okay? Along with doing istikhara yourself. So for example, you want to get married to someone, okay? There's too many examples of marriage. Let's say you want to purchase a house, all right? Now, before you make that purchase, what do? You pray istikhara. And you also ask your spouse to pray istikhara, because they're going to be living in it, right? You ask your parents also to do istikhara because they're going to be living in it. So if the decision affects other people, then yes, they should also do istikhara. But otherwise, if they're not affected by that decision, it has nothing to do with them, then no, you don't ask other people to pray for you, to pray salah in your place. And just like that, you don't tell other people to pray istikhara for you. Because you see, salatul istikhara is what? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when one of you wants to make a decision, then he should pray 2 rak'ah. And the person who is affected by the decision should pray the 2 rak'ah. And when it comes to salah, you cannot ask someone else to pray on your behalf. So for example, you go to the masjid with your friend, and you say, oh, I'm so tired, I'm just going to sit down. Can you pray the 2 tahiyatul masjid for me? No, you don't tell your friend to pray for you. You have to pray yourself. If you're unwell, you cannot ask your child to pray your dhuhr for you. No, you have to pray yourself. So just like that, when it comes to the prayer of istikhara, you have to do it yourself. And the people who are affected by that decision, they should also pray istikhara. Why? Because it affects them. It's your decision, and it's also their decision. So all the parties involved, yani, should pray istikharatan. Another important thing is that we should not go to a fortune teller for istikhara. Yani, subhanallah, some people will go, you know, they will pay a fortune teller, you know, a huge sum of money, and they will ask, should I marry this person or not? And then that fortune teller has like a bird, all right? And the bird will be let loose, and the bird will pick something, and based on that, they will say, yes, go ahead with it, or no, don't go ahead with it. Or they will put their hand on some glass globe, and then they will, you know, make some funny sounds or something, and they will say, go ahead with it, or don't go ahead with it. This is very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever goes to a fortune teller, and then he confirms him in what he says, meaning he believes the fortune teller, then he is disbelieving in what was revealed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this will ruin a person's faith. So be careful. Subhanallah. And this is so common that people will ask someone, they will pay someone, pray istikhara for me regarding this matter, and then they will call them and they will tell them, yes, we did istikhara for you, and you should not go ahead with this marriage because this person is evil in this and this way. And if you do, then such and such will happen. They will start talking about matters of the future, matters of the unseen. This is wrong. This is wrong. When it comes to istikhara, this is salah that you have to perform yourself. So you do it. You don't hire someone. You don't pay someone. You don't ask someone else to do it for you. Another important thing is that sometimes, you know, you do istikhara, and then afterwards you experience some pain or hardship, difficulty, then remember that difficulty was good for you, right? And also remember that it may appear to be something evil for you, something bad for you, but hidden inside it is much more good. So for example, you make istikhara before traveling. All right. And when you travel, what happens? May Allah protect you. But sometimes, you know, people get sick, they get into an accident, their wallet gets stolen, and then they're not able to find, you know, a means of traveling back home on time. And then their work gets affected, you know, things like that. And so they say, oh my God, I have suffered so much since I traveled, and I actually prayed istikhara. Well, maybe that sickness was a means of purification for you, and that loss was a means of increase in your ranks. Because in a hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a certain status for a slave, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the slave to reach that position, that status, that higher level. And a person is not able to reach that level merely with his deeds. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that slave to test, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in trial in regard to his body or his wealth or his child. Subhanallah, a person suffers illness, or they get fired from their job, or their child suffers. And then the person is patient. And because of that patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person reach that higher level. Allahu Akbar. So yes, on the surface, there was a lot of shar, all right? There was suffering, there was loss, there was pain. But hidden inside was what? Much, much more good. That is permanent, that is everlasting. So when you pray istikhara, then after that, focus on the good. And no matter what happens, believe that it is good for you. Because you asked Allah for goodness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that goodness. And even if something painful happens, remember, that is good for you. Do not attribute evil to Allah. Do not say that, oh, Allah, you know, did such and such evil to me. Astaghfirullah. Don't say such negative things, wrong things about Allah Azza wa Jal. And praying istikhara means that you are trusting Allah's decision. You're asking Allah to make the choice for you, right? The decision for you. So this is a form of tawakkul. You know, for example, sometimes you are so busy, you are so tired mentally, there's so many things going on that you cannot decide what to cook, right? So then what do? You just ask your family, what do you want to eat? And they say, dal chawal, right? They say rice and lentils. So what do? You just go and make that, right? In your mind, you might be thinking, I don't know if they're going to enjoy it. I don't know if they're going to like it. We just had this recently. Well, no, they said this is what they want. So you go ahead with it, right? Because you know, you don't have the mental bandwidth to make that decision. So just like that, you don't always have the mental bandwidth to make decisions for yourself, to know what is really good for you. So you ask Allah to make that decision, to choose what is best for you. And then once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something good for you, something for you, now you trust Allah's decision. And when, you know, sometimes after istikhara, you still, you know, suffer. Remind yourself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُلْوَةُ الدُّنْيَا مُرَّةُ الْآخِرَةِ وَمُرَّةُ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةُ الْآخِرَةِ, that the sweetness of this world is bitterness of the hereafter, and the bitterness of this world is sweetness of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. And when you're fasting, is it always easy? No. You experience thirst. You experience so much fatigue, a headache maybe. You know, if you've seen your children fasting this Ramadan, you may have noticed that, you know, they look a little weaker maybe. You know, their face seems to have, their cheeks may appear to have gone in. They may not have the energy to do their homework or anything. Yes, you feel for them, but you know that fasting is good for them. And they should fast because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated fasting on them. So yes, you see them struggling, but you know that it's worth it because the reward in the hereafter is much greater. So just like that, if you experience anything painful after praying istikhara, then remind yourself that yes, مُرَّةُ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةُ الْآخِرَةِ, the bitterness of the world is sweetness of the hereafter. Right? And وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, actions are determined by how they end. So if the final outcome is good, that you are pleased with Allah and you are obedient to Allah, your deen is good, is fine, then everything is good, inshallah. Now, besides the dua of istikhara, we can also make some other du'as to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what is good for us. Among these du'as is the du'a of Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqeed, that, oh my Lord, I am in desperate need of anything good that you send down to me. And this is a very comprehensive du'a, which includes the goodness of this world, goodness of the hereafter. It includes goodness in terms of money, in terms of family, in terms of security, in terms of, you know, your home, everything. So make this du'a for yourself. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqeer. Another du'a we can make. Allahumma astahdika li arshadi amri wa a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. That, O Allah, I ask you to guide me to the most correct of my affair, and I seek refuge in you from the evil of my soul. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach this dua. So we should make this dua also when we are confused about a matter, when we don't know what to do, when we are indecisive. That, Ya Allah, guide me to the most correct of my affair. Yani, what's the best option for me? Guide me to that. Allahumma astahdika li arshadi amri. We should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to what is good for us. This dua, we learn, Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her this dua, which is, Allahumma inni as'aluka min al khayri kulli. O Allah, I ask you for all that is good. And I ask you for all types of goodness, everything good for me. Ajilihi wa ajili, that which can come quickly and that which comes later, meaning good of this world, good of the hereafter. Ma alimtu minhu wa ma lam a'lam, the good that I know and also the good that I don't know. Because you know, sometimes you believe something is good for you, so you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant it to you. What if there is something so good for you, excellent for you, and you don't even know that it's out there? You don't even know that it's good for you. If you don't know, you're not going to pray for it. So in this dua, You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you what is good for you, whether you know about it or you don't know about it. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, I ask you for everything good that your worshipper and your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you for. Anything good he prayed for, oh Allah, I pray for the same good for myself. Wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma 'adha minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka. And oh Allah, I ask you to protect me from everything evil that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you to protect him from. Abduka wa nabiyyuk. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Oh Allah, I ask you for paradise. Wama qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amal. And whatever that can bring me close to it in terms of word or in terms of action. Meaning any word, any action that can draw me close to paradise, ya Allah, grant me that. وَأَسْأَلُكَ أَن تَجْعَلَ كُلَّ قَضَاءٍ تَقْضِيهِ لِي خَيْرًا. And I ask you that you make every decree that you have decreed for me good. Anything that you have decreed for me, Ya Allah, make it good for me. This is such an excellent dua. And you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this dua to Aisha radiallahu anha, someone he loved. So we should also make this dua for ourselves. Then in the morning and the evening, as we remember Allah, one of the du'as that we should say is in the evening, أَمْسَيْنَا وَأَمْسَى الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ رَبِّ أَسْأَلُكَ خَيْرَ مَا فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. That, oh my Lord, I ask you for the good which is in this night. وَخَيْرَ مَا بَعْدَهَا, and the good which comes after it. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. And I seek your protection against anything evil that is in this night. وَشَرِّ مَا بَعْدَهَا, and anything that is evil after it. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْكَسَلِ وَسُوءِ الْكِبَرِ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ عَذَابٍ فِي النَّارِ وَعَذَابٍ فِي الْقَبْرِ. So this is what we say in the evening and in the morning. Same dua, just with a slightly different wording. Instead of أَمْسَيْنَا وَأَمْسَى, we say أَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكِ, because you're entering the morning, not the evening. And you say, oh Allah, I ask you, خَيْرَ مَا فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ, I ask you for the good which is in this day. وَخَيْرَ مَا بَعْدَهُ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ وَشَرِّ مَا بَعْدَهُ. So this is in the morning and the evening du'as that we should make regularly and we should make with attention. You know, ask Allah for what is good and protect you from anything that is evil. Another thing, when the wind blows, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua at that time. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa khayra ma ursilat bi. That, oh Allah, I ask you for its goodness, the goodness that is in it and the goodness that it was sent with. Wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma ursilat bi. And I seek refuge in you from its evil, the evil that is in it and the evil that it was sent with. Now you might say, how does the wind affect me? I am inside the house. Well, yes, it may not directly affect you, but indirectly, certainly it can affect you. How often it happens that a wind turns into a storm, or because of the wind, you know, trees are uprooted, there's electricity outage, power outage, and because of that, heat, hydro gets affected, water gets affected, pipes in houses can burst, subhanAllah. And not just that, food shortages can happen. Don't think yourself to be, too secure. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good that is in the wind and to protect you from the evil that is in it. Sometimes it happens that when it's too windy and you're in your car, as you get out, you open the door closes on you, right? Why? Because of the wind. And that can cause a bone to fracture. It can cause you to get seriously injured. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good when the wind blows. Also, we learn in a hadith that when a person gets married or a person gets a new animal, meaning a means of transportation, or a new servant, meaning something new comes into your life. Okay, and this something new is very integral to you. It's directly going to affect you. So then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good in it. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayriha wa khayri ma jubilat alayh. That, oh Allah, I ask you for its goodness and the good that it was created with. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهَا وَشَرِّ مَا جُبِلَتْ عَلَيْهِ. And I seek refuge in you from its evil and the evil that it was made with. Because, you know, for example, if pet, anything new that comes into your house, into your life, there is good in it, and there can also be potential evil in it. So you're asking Allah to grant you the good and protect you from anything evil in it. Even when we wear new clothes, we are taught to pray, Allahumma laka alhamd, anta kasawtanihi, as'aluka min khayrihi, wa khayri ma suni'a lahu, wa a'udhu bika min sharrihi, wa sharri ma suni'a lahu. That, O Allah, for you is all praise. You are the one who has clothed me. I ask you for its goodness and the goodness that it was made for. And I seek refuge in you from its evil and the evil that it was made for. SubhanAllah. And so often it happens that, you know, you wear something new. It looks nice on you. It looks good on you. But then, you know, it's not right for the weather. And, you know, you get too cold or you get too hot, or that material is not suitable for your skin, you develop a rash. So these things can happen. So even when you're wearing clothes, something new, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the good that is in it. When you eat after that, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa at'imna khayra minhu. That, oh Allah, bless us in it and give us better than it to eat. SubhanAllah. And when you eat something also, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what is good, to make what you ate good for you. When someone is good to you, you make dua for them. Jazakallahu khayran. May Allah reward you with goodness. When two people get married, make dua for them. Barakallahu laka wa baraka alayka wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. That may Allah bless you and shower His blessings upon you and join you together in goodness. So all of these du'as, they teach us that no matter what the situation is, no matter how confident or secure we feel, or no matter how afraid or apprehensive we feel, in every situation, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness in our food, in our clothing, in our relationships, anything new that enters our lives, the coming day, the coming night, everything. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you goodness. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.